Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Yesterday, all the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason, you know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it, tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for March 15th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me today is Puya. How you doing, Puya?
I'm doing really well, Taryn. I mean, it's no lie. I stood on a hill at the start of the season. It was the wrong hill to stand on. I said, Mackie, you know, he's a recruit, but whatever, he'll be a fun time. And those hopes and dreams were crashing down last night. And the one thing I can say, at least, is that for a Persian man to come in next, the bar could not have been set any lower. So here's to the next guy. You can probably do a lot better easily.
Just watch the show first.
Yeah, that's all we ask.
I mean, I've said it before. I'll say it again. I've never felt more correct about a preseason judgment myself. But, you know, in real life, I'm sure he's a great guy.
Absolutely. He seems like a fun guy, loving guy, but Honesty Hour is not the game he had signed up for, and I don't think he realized that even until he left. So,
yeah. Also, give me a job in casting, because I could have told them this was a mistake.
But he had the hair turn. He had, like, this big hair, big personality. Yeah. You know?
I just, like, you can't just cast people based on their look. The look does not equal good casting. All right. So we are here to talk to you about everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother Canada 7 live feeds. And we have a new HOH. We have a new plan for the week. We have new targets, new back doors in the works. So we're going to get into it all, Puya.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk about all this, man, because from what we saw yesterday with the once the spoilers came out for me, finding the result out, I was intrigued to see what's going to happen. There's still intrigue on the table. This could end up being a more cut and dry than last week, but there's still a lot of possibilities in the air.
We'll see. Yes, yes. The vote being a 5-5 with Dane breaking the tie was a surprise by itself. We got a little bit of explanation on the feeds afterward, but for the most part, it's still a little bit confusing as to how exactly it happened. Prior to the eviction, there were some rumblings. Steph kind of learned that this vote was going to happen. She tried to argue against it, but to no avail. And Damien, we saw that Damien was not liking the plan. He did not like that he had to vote Mackie out. He talked to himself or to the cameras and said, I wish I could go against them, but they're in power and I don't want to go home. So we saw that there was an internal struggle there, which obviously explains, you know, in part why he went the other way. But Eddie certainly was confusing, and he has not helped with his explanations, which seem like BS to me. we may have to wait until the next episode to get the full DR explanation from Eddie.
Yeah, no, I think that's when we're going to actually find out what's going on. I did love his attempt to say that it was the language barrier, like you guys touched on last night. That was fun for me. But ultimately, it does come down to what's interesting with Mackie is, for whatever reason, the people who voted with him kind of wanted to, because they'd given their word, wanted to see that come through. And I don't know how much validity I see in that, because obviously they were closer to Mackie, the ones that did vote. Damien obviously kind of had the, you can do what you want, just don't tell people what we're doing. And he went with that, apparently. But then the fact that we did end up getting a tie vote was pretty fascinating in its own way. Week two, it kind of makes for a lot more fun. But I don't know how we know one side is pretty solidified, but I don't know how solidified the other side is with one another. It was just the extreme set of circumstances, I feel like, that made it a 5-5.
Yeah. So what we do know, which Damian told Chelsea later in the night, is that Kaylin had some sort of prayer circle going on, and in it, it was said in a way that would make people feel really guilty if they didn't vote to keep Mackie. And Damian said he felt it was a little manipulative, but he also saw himself there in a prayer circle, having given his word to Mackie, and decided, I can't go against my word in front of Canada like this. And he says that's why he ultimately switched his vote. Whether or not that's the truth, again, we'll have to probably wait and see. But Chelsea seemed to find this a very reasonable and understandable explanation. And the retells that Chelsea had gotten were that that Kaylin was like threatening people to not vote if they were not going to vote to keep Mackie. But Damian said, no, it was more like a guilt trip sort of thing, which is funny given all of the threatening talk from Big Brother Celebrity. What's a threat? Just, what's a guilt trip?
Yeah, no. And in the BB Can house, honestly, it would come down to a prayer circle being a little intimidating and you being like, I don't want to be seen negatively. I mean, we just, like you said, we saw this really different comparison in BB Celebrity where it was just, people did not seemingly care about anything. And we're just doing what they needed to do. I don't think Damian used this as a quote unquote strategy because it's Damian. But if anything, it helps his cause a lot. And it does put a spotlight that was already there even more so on Kaylin. So it kind of works out for him that she buys this.
Yes. And then Eddie's explanation to Mark is, hey, I know that people that we had talked about it being to evict Mackie, but other people were talking to me and I wasn't sure. Like, nobody really gave me the final, like Dane never told me the final heads up, like, hey, it's definitely Mackie. And I know so many people talked about going with the house. And so I saw so many votes for keeping Mackie. And I was just like, I don't know which way it's going. So I might as well just vote in my own best interest for what I think is best for my game and see how it plays out from there. And so that's just what happened. And I'm sorry, I got confused, so on and so forth. And Dane didn't love the answer. Adam doesn't love the Adam was very upset with Eddie and Damian. Mark was okay with the answer. Most people are like kind of sketched out by what Eddie's saying, but they like him so much it's fine, and nobody's really targeting him still.
Yeah, I mean, Eddie would be the one to come out of this vote on the other side and be just fine. Seemingly he is the one name that's just not up for grabs in any way this week, which is great for Eddie. And I do think even though they didn't like the answer, when the beauty of having a week that's going back and forth like this, where it was one day it was Mackie, one day it was Kira, one day it was Mackie. And then to add in, again, I know that he like says it, but like who buys it? The language barrier thing does help him, in my opinion, in this section where he's like, well, I just needed more affirmation. And he comes off very non-threatening by the way he's speaking with them. And they kind of want to take him in. You just want to hug Eddie, and Eddie, you want Eddie to be with you. So they can overlook this, especially because there are bigger fish to fry on the other side, and Eddie's not one of them.
Yes. So apparently another thing that happened, there was some kind of blow up that we heard about. We will probably see this on the Sunday night episode as a flashback, but Adam blew up on Damian and Eddie because they switched their votes. So he blew up on them. Damian was praised by Chelsea for remaining calm in that situation, and she felt like she respected how he handled it. And Kaylin felt like when apparently there was some for whatever reason, when Adam went off on those two, he probably wasn't super specific. So Kaylin felt like he was coming after her. And so she kind of got involved. And that's why it became a thing between Kaylin and Adam. And I don't know if anybody else got involved or what else, came of this. But apparently it was some kind of big drama. And like I said, we'll probably see it. But that was, I think, the instigating force there was Adam being mad at Damian and Eddie for switching their votes.
Yeah, Adam just does not do things well. He doesn't do stuff in public well. I feel like combined with his excess celebration with Chelsea, and then add in the fact that you got the vote you wanted, you got the result you wanted. Yeah, you're upset about like some people not voting with you. Save that for later. But Adam clearly does not compute well as a player and just lost it on these two. But it would be a situation where Kaylin feels like she's taking offense. And you would imagine that Kaylin obviously has something to say. And then she will say, you get me like 12 times after that. But that's just Kaylin being Kaylin. I'm excited to see this breakdown on the Sunday recap.
Yeah. Kaylin punishes Adam in her own unique way by forcing him to sit through like a half hour long conversation where she doesn't make any sense and is comparing herself to Erica from Big Brother Canada 6. And like he is just desperate to leave, but has no outs because nobody's coming to save him.
That is a part that would be the biggest punishment for someone like Adam. He just wants to go and be with Sam and the pretty boys. So is the more time she takes away from him, the bigger victory for her.
Yeah. So with a vote of 5-5 and Dane breaking the tie, Mackie is evicted from the Big Brother Canada 7 headquarters, I guess.
Thank you.
And Chelsea is going to win the next HOH. So when the feeds come back, Chelsea is with Kira. And they talk about what the plan might be from this point forward. And Kira obviously would love if Chelsea targeted Kaylin. They have been after Kaylin all week. And they had a conversation with Chelsea prior to the eviction where they talked about how they would be targeting Kaylin. And so Chelsea is open to the idea. But as we talked about last night on the recap, Chelsea has never been as gung-ho about targeting Kaylin as the rest of the group of sort of Chelsea, Kira, Sam, and Adam. I think that she feels either that she has a better relationship with Kaylin or that Kaylin just isn't as much of a threat as other people think, and has always sort of felt like, you know, you guys can go after Kaylin. I have my own things. And I think another part of it is that Chelsea, she is very smart, and I do think she realizes that when her allies all want this one person gone that won't be targeting her and will be targeting them, why do the work for them? Why,
right.
You know, take out somebody else and let that thing continue. So it seems as though Chelsea is like, you know, maybe we don't need to put her up initially. Maybe it would be a backdoor. We could backdoor Kaylin. It would have to be a backdoor. And, you know, we could probably use her as a number. So I got the sense that that Chelsea was very much kind of just trying to sweep the target Kaylin plan under the rug. And that kind of happens throughout the rest of the night.
Yeah. And I think it's a very smart call by her because, like you mentioned, a lot of her allies are dropping this name out. So that means next week if one of them wins, they'll take care of that. I don't have to. That's another extra week. I'll go ahead. And then the other fact is, you know, you touched on how Damien was talking about this prayer circle. So if it's a situation where there is some truth there that Kaylin does have enough power of persuasion amongst people, if she keeps Kaylin safe, she doesn't have to worry if Kaylin ends up in a situation where she can convince the next HOH where to go. It won't be Chelsea. It'll be the bigger guys. It'll be someone else that she has beef with. Definitely not her. So this is a slam dunk for her, honestly, to not even do that and to tease it as a potential backdoor. I know a lot of people on Twitter just were like, backdoor for someone who's not going to win comps? What is that nonsense? I do honestly think that she's probably thinking it'll hopefully not even come to a backdoor where she has to replace a nominee somewhere. So I think Kaylin's fine. I think she's got her sight set on more younger blood, if you will.
Yes. I mean, I talked last night about how I felt like the right move here would be to target Damien, that I feel like, you know, nobody's really gonna stick their necks out for him, and mm-hmm. she can kind of, it's kind of taking a shot at the bros without actually taking a shot at the bros because they want to reel him in. And that's really a name that is going to be put out there in the forefront for Chelsea. Damien is the one definite for her on the block. She feels like Damien is definitely somebody that I want on the block. It's just kind of a matter of who's going to go up next to him. Should it be Kaylin? Should it be Kiki, one of them potentially. And so those are really the three main people that are being focused on here in all of these talks. Kaylin, Kiki, and Damien. Another reason that she says Kaylin needs to be backdoored, which she talks to with Adam about later, is she, and I think, again, this is just a made-up excuse, but what she says is, we can't have Kaylin on the block all week. She knows too many things. She's too manipulative. She'll ruin our games. That's why I can't put her up right now. But these are the three names here that she's talking about. And in this conversation with Kira, she also talks with them about, like, you know, apparently in this blow up that happened during the eviction, Kira got a little excited as well. I don't know exactly what it was, but Chelsea's response was, you got to stay humble. Like Anthony says, you can't be doing that. I know you were excited that you were staying, but man. And Chelsea is also saying, like, we can't be seen as this pair. Like, this is not good for our games. And Kira's not really liking hearing this. Kira's kind of just like, but you're the person I get along with and all of this stuff, and getting kind of defensive. And then Chelsea's like, no, don't get defensive. It's a game. We need to play the game well. And then Kira's like, why are you saying that? I'm not being defensive. And it's a mess. This relationship is very messy.
Yeah. I mean, this is the first interaction I caught on the feeds when they went live last week, was these two and their dynamic. And I feel like Kira, you know, they've spent the last week on the block. They've spent a lot of the week worried, will I be gone? Will I stay? And now they get to stay and they kind of want to lay low, and their best friend wins HOH and they just want to hang out with their best friend. But right, like, their guard is down. I feel like they think, I'm safe now, no worries. But Chelsea won't let that happen. Chelsea's like, you need to separate from me. And I feel like Kira is someone like, they need the affirmation. They need to feel validation. They need to feel like they belong to something, to a coalition, to an alliance, to a pairing. And they've selected Chelsea, but Chelsea's playing this smart enough right now, and they don't want this to be a thing moving forward for other people to see. Like, I don't think that Chelsea has problems with Kira. Chelsea just thinks, we need to lay low for now. And yeah, Kira just can't take this right now.
Yeah, because Chelsea doesn't want it to become, oh, it, like, they're the other twins,
right?
And she is going to talk later about how, like, I can't have them as my shadow, like, everywhere I go, because she's going to get put up on the block next to Kira, mm-hmm. and that's not good for her game. And so, like, the way she talks about it makes it seem like she very much sees this as the kind of situation where it's like when you were in school and, you know, there was, you know, the one kid that nobody liked, and you were like, you know, I'm a nice person. I'm going to go and be nice to this person. And so you go and be nice to that person, and then they never leave you alone forever, because you're the one person that's ever been nice to them, and you can't get rid of them ever. And so, like, that's the situation that she finds herself in, only this is also a game, and them not leaving you alone forever is really bad for your game. And so she's finding herself in a kind of very frustrating situation where she's trying to explain to Kira, we can't be a duo. That's not good. But at the same time, you know, then Kira gets upset, and it's a tricky one here.
Yeah, because I don't think there's any part, like, I think Chelsea genuinely enjoys Kira's company. I think Chelsea gets along well with Kira. But in the stage that is this game, it really doesn't behoove her to have this connection be so up in front and center in people's minds. Especially if you're Chelsea and you're thinking, Kira was just on the block. She's tasted the block. There's a chance that they're going to end up being on the block again. And if I'm associated, I'm the easy one to put next to them. So that's no good for me. No bueno for me.
Yeah, well, because basically what it is that it does benefit Kira a lot for them to be associated with Chelsea. Because people will be worried to go after Kira because Kira is protected by Chelsea and therefore the rest of whoever Chelsea is connected with. And so if anyone ever wanted to take a shot at Kira, or even just this group that has power because they have numbers in Chelsea and Kira, they have to take a shot at Chelsea. Chelsea is the target there. Nobody will ever send Kira home over Chelsea. So Chelsea is the meat shield, and she's like, and but she's very like, she's not typically the person that would be the meat shield, so she's very aware that she's the meat shield, and she's like, no, I'm not your meat shield. Get him, stop it. No, I'm not. Stop.
Yeah. Stay away. And it's just, it's bad because they're both clearly wanting, like, they both know what the other wants, but they both can't just let it be the way it is. Because, like, Kira comes off of the block with 5 votes. If Dane felt a different way last night, Mackie stays, they're gone. So they want the security. They want the closeness. They want those connections, and they want to hold on tight to them. But Chelsea can't let that happen because Chelsea just won an HOH and is like, well, this is already enough of a target moving forward. Maybe not looking like I'm central to a lot of people might be better for me right now.
And part of me wonders if one of the motivations here for trying to maybe keep Kaylin in the game is that Kaylin is one of the few people that would target Kira over Chelsea.
Yeah, I genuinely think there's a big chance of that. And I do think that to touch on what you said earlier, just quickly, telling Adam that Kaylin knows a lot of our secrets is just reminding Adam, hey, remember that stuff that just happened after the eviction, that blow up? That's going to be the whole week if we do this. So it's better we don't do this. Maybe we take a back seat with that for now. So I think Chelsea, for me personally, I know that in the preseason, a lot of people were very high on her. I wasn't sure where I was, but talking through all of this now and seeing how the last 12 hours have went, I think there's a lot of potential here. A lot.
Yes.
For nearly 4 decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
So Chelsea also talks to Adam, and this is more about the plan. Damien's going to go up on the block. Who is it going to be with? Be next to? And they ultimately land on Kiki. Kiki is the person that is going to go up on the block next to Damien. That's the initial plan, at least. And then it kind of becomes a matter of which one is going to be the target. That's still a little bit undecided at this point. It did seem like Chelsea was leaning toward Damien as the target here, in my opinion, at first. But she is going to have more conversations throughout the day, and we'll see where that ultimately lands. Adam is going to talk with Dane, and he, after his conversation with Chelsea, is like, hey, we're good. Things are great. Hey, can you believe it? Chelsea is in the palm of our hands. This is amazing. She thinks that she's using the guys as numbers. Little does she know, the guys are using her as numbers. So, you know, it's Adam feeling very not humble.
Now, Adam, he's feeling himself. He's been feeling himself from the minute he won that prison break HOH on night one. He's really full of himself. Everything's good. But, like, can we blame him? Has he had to face any problems so far? It's literally everything has worked out for this kid. So he just doesn't have the, I'm gonna let my ego stay small. He has big ego syndrome, and it's just been getting bigger and bigger with every result that's going his way. So obviously he's feeling good. He has the boys. And if you look at their quote unquote group voting block that just happened, it's the boys, and then it's Sam and Chelsea. And Sam is his potential showman's partner type situation. So he's feeling on top of the world. He feels like he is the central piece in this entire alliance.
I've said it before. I'll say it again in more strong terms. I think that if any of the pretty boys end up winning this season, they owe a commission check to Matt Hoffman because he is still the best part of any of their games. But, you know, we'll see how it goes. So let's see. Mark talks with Eddie. This is when Eddie explains about what happened with his vote. And then Mark is going to talk with Kaylin and explain his vote to her. And he basically does what he's been doing all week long, which is blaming Dane. look, I just was going to vote how Dane wanted me to vote. And Kaylin's like, what?
No.
Like, Kaylin is just, she's shocked. She's not happy. Oh, Dane wanted you to vote that way?
No.
I mean, it helps that Dane broke the tie that way. So it's very easy for him. Like, Dane wanted it. It just further reinforces everything he had been trying to sell, and now it's hook, line, and sinker done. Mark is someone who's been doing a pretty decent job in communicating with as many people as possible, in my opinion. I did spend a good chunk of 30 minutes today watching him sit in bed next to Damien and say nothing, which was a pretty waste of my time, but it's just little things like that are good, because I feel like he's caught socializing with kind of everybody. So that's good. Mark is someone who at the beginning I also thought was nothing. I laughed like the rest of you when Rob picked him so early. But Mark, right now in a good position.
In a good position, I think, because of who's in power. But I do think he might be in trouble moving forward. Depending on how this week shakes out, because this basically what happened in the HOH competition where, you know, Steph picked him to go up and then he picked Steph and Kiki. This relationship, which we talked about on the roundtable as deteriorating, has basically entirely deteriorated. They are very anti-Mark at this point. And he's losing his relationships, right? Like he doesn't really have any solid people beyond the pretty boys anymore, and that's not great for him. Chelsea described him as lost, which is probably the best perception that anyone could have of him in his eyes, because you know he is a little bit lost, except for the fact that he's in the pretty boys. But it's good that people like Chelsea don't see him as a threat right now. For him, bad for Chelsea. I've talked about how I do feel like Chelsea's playing well. I think she's smart. In fact, I think she's one of the smartest players in the house. The big thing that causes all of her, like, she has correct reasoning, correct logic, with all of her decisions. It's just that she has a misaligned image of how the house actually is because she doesn't see the pretty boys, and so the correct reasoning takes her off into potentially incorrect conclusions, and that's dangerous for her because she just doesn't see it. She doesn't see that that connection. Maybe we could argue that she should, given how sloppy some of these guys are in terms of talking about the boys. When Adam talks about the boys and how they kind of have each other's backs, she's like, yeah, that's just a natural thing, you know, for bros to stick together like that. It's not. It's really not. Like, bros, if they're not in a bro alliance, they almost always target each other. They're either bros and aligned, or they're bros. He's the threat. You know what I mean? So I feel like that's how you have to approach bros in any season, is if they're getting along and hanging out and talking about how they're bros, then they're definitely in an alliance together. And if they're talking about how jealous they are of each other and, you know, how they're like, oh, this guy, he thinks he's so cool, that's when you know they're probably not aligned with each other.
Yeah, no, that's very well said, Taryn, because I feel like if you look at, well, Mackie just left. He was someone that could have had some potential in him with these guys. They got rid of him. Now Damien's going, they're kind of cool with it. Like, they're, you know, whatever. That leaves these other four that voted together. These bros are broing down. Like, there is this mentality where it's like, there can only be room for one bro unless we're all bros. Then we'll just be a bro together.
Yeah.
So that's the way it goes with these bros.
Yep. Let's see. Chelsea talks with Anthony. They have a long talk where they basically, this was an interesting one, actually. It's because Anthony is somebody that talks a lot, and says very little. And Chelsea is somebody that is, you know, smart enough to try and talk around what she wants and, you know, use that to get what they want. So this is kind of like a verbal sparring, mm-hmm. where they're aligned with each other. They like each other. They're kind of working with each other, but they're very much just like trying to get their own agendas out and in, and, you know, it's kind of a stalemate. They both agree they're not coming after each other. Chelsea's not going to get any names from Anthony. Anthony's not really going to do much beyond, you know, just talk a lot and try to give a certain perception of himself and how he interacts with the rest of the pretty boys, which is, you know, decently successful here. But ultimately this doesn't go much of anywhere. Next is Kiki. Kiki is going to talk with Chelsea, and this is an interesting conversation. Kiki basically gives a spiel about like, hey, I've always wanted to work with you, Chelsea. You know, which is kind of true. Like, yeah, they have talked, her and Steph have talked about how they like Chelsea and it would be great if they could work with her. Problem is, they've never approached her about it, you know, like until, she's HOH. Yeah. And it's, I really didn't like this conversation from Kiki's, and, because she and Steph have just been in their own world for the most part. And now all of a sudden she has this pitch to Chelsea. It came off as very, like not genuine to me. You know, she talked about like, you know, and I don't even see the houses divided at all. Like, just because it was a 5-5 vote, you know, like I was studying with Adam just like a day ago. It felt very prepared, and
yeah,
and it didn't feel very real. I think Chelsea kind of saw that. Chelsea tries to get some names out of Kiki, like, who do you feel like you can't trust, you know, or whatever, who do you feel like might be coming after you? And Kiki's like, you know, honestly, I'm not even sure. Like, you don't want to give names, but you want to give a better reason than that. And so Chelsea's like, okay, yeah, this was a great talk. You know, I'm going to think about what you said, and I'm going to think about it, and I'll get back to you with, you know, what I'm thinking. Which, if the HOH does not tell you you're safe, you're in trouble.
There's a couple of things wrong with this. And I love Kiki. Kiki's been one of my, like, one of the ones I'm rooting for on a personal. But the problem here is it did sound rehearsed. It did sound shaky. It didn't sound confident. And then to go back to something that Chelsea has talked about wanting to use in her speech potentially, if she does put Kiki up, is those secret videos where she said she's a great liar. And that the problem with a thing like that, Taryn, is that now anything you say, people are going to think, are you lying to me or are you serious with me? The truth of the matter is, yes, her and Esty had talked about talking with Chelsea and like rooming with her. I mean, going forward with her potentially. But the problem is they didn't do it till she won HOH. So now anything she says comes off as disingenuous and comes off as just ask Cassie to get a day further. And they're not going to take that. And factor in, again, that I think Chelsea thinks Kiki's a smart girl. So any of the stuff she said just comes off as a lie. It's like, you're smarter than that. You know there's a divide in the house. You know some names that you're just not giving me. So none of this gels well together at all. And it's really unfortunate.
Yeah, it's weird because when I was watching this conversation and I was listening to Kiki talk, I knew that a lot of what she was saying was the truth. And yeah. I didn't remember that she had said she was a good liar. And still, I was like, this is bad. This doesn't, she's lying somehow. I don't know how, but she's lying somehow.
Yeah.
From Chelsea's perspective, she doesn't know that what Kiki's saying is mostly the truth because she hasn't seen those private conversations. She does remember that Kiki said that she was a great liar in her thing. So it's like, you can definitely see why Chelsea might come away from this conversation feeling like, I don't like that.
Yeah.
On the other hand, Kiki comes away from this conversation thinking, that was amazing.
Nailed it. Yeah, and the problem here with all of it is, I think the most genuine thing that it's, like, the thing that sounded the most genuine was when Chelsea asked if she would be a target for her moving next week. the quick response. You want that when you're lying to just quick response. F no, no, that's not a thing that's happening with me. But again, at that point, she thinks you're a good liar because you've said you're a good liar. So that's not going to fall into anything for you. It's Kiki felt good. Chelsea felt bad. So Chelsea felt good and Kiki should feel bad.
Kiki is going to talk with Steph about that conversation went great. I'm feeling really good. I think we're totally fine. And it's man, not great. So Chelsea is then going to talk with Damien. And this is another interesting conversation because, like I said, I feel like Chelsea was kind of still nebulous enough that these conversations could have an impact at, at least on who is targeted, if not the nominations themselves. And so she talks with Damien and Damien says, look, I understand I'm probably on your radar after what happened. Something regarding the blow up. I don't know why it involved Chelsea, but, he understands. He's kind of been a little mopey all night, knowing that he's probably in trouble. He explains everything that we talked about at the start of the update, why he flipped the whole Kaylin thing. Chelsea says, I get it. I understand. He says, I've never been after you. I don't picture myself being after you. Like, we're totally cool. If you don't end up targeting me, I want you to know that, I will not target you, so on and so forth. It's a pretty, standard offer that most people will end up giving Chelsea. Kiki also gave it to her, of course. She asks him for names. Who do you feel like you can't trust? And this is where he slips up a little because, he's like, you can see him thinking, he's like, who should I say? There was Sam. Oh crap. No, I shouldn't have said Sam. But that's totally fine now. After stuff and, thinking about basically, I go downstairs and nobody looks me in the eye anymore. Even the people I just voted with, they're not even looking me in the eye anymore. So, I don't think I have anyone. Not great that he said Sam, but he did backtrack it. And I do think he kind of covered it up enough that he's like, look, I don't have anyone. I got nothing. And I think this was the best way to describe it is even the people I just voted with, as though he should have some sort of allegiance. They should have some sort of allegiance to him. They're not looking me in the eye. He says, I know that they would throw me under the bus in a heartbeat, knowing that, I have nobody else and they would want to stick together. He's pulling hard on that card. For me, I feel like, if anything, that gives Chelsea more of a reason to target him because nobody would care. But I think from Chelsea's perspective, she is not quite thinking that same way because, again, she doesn't have the knowledge that we do of the pretty boys and that she may need certain things to go a certain way, like having a whole side to go against them. So that's sort of Damien's response there.
Yeah, and again, this comes off the heels of the conversation with Kiki, and the whole week, one of the one key point of keeping Mackie was he's going to be our moldable nitwit. He's going to be the dummy that we can manipulate and form what we want. And I feel like Damien looks like the next prime candidate, the next successor to that moldable nitwit spot. And for her, this is like, well, maybe this is something that could work. I mean, he's talking here about how he has nobody. Maybe this is a start from scratch week and I can maybe do something with them. But ultimately, I think most of it just for me boils down to literally the conversation with Kiki just happened and Kiki gave me nothing. At least Damien gave me filler word salad, but he still gave me his thoughts and what he was feeling about his position in the house. And I appreciate that.
Yeah, I think the key difference here is that even though Damien makes a couple of mistakes in terms of what he's saying and how it might not align exactly with what Sam or what Chelsea wants to hear, he comes off as genuine. He comes off as this is the real Damien. He is being real with me. Whereas Kiki's just came off as rehearsed and you don't know what that means. And so Chelsea kind of, not only does Damien feel genuine, he's so likable. She likes him. She feels bad for him. She's like, you know, I feel like you're a victim of circumstance, Damien. And, you know, that sucks. And so this is not going to change her mind in terms of who she's going to nominate. However, I do think at this point now she's starting to lean like, maybe I don't think I want Damien out. It sucks for him that he's going to be nominated again. I'm definitely still nominating him, but I don't think he's going to be my target at this point. So, she lets him know again. He also like tries to downplay his game. Like, I'm very beatable. Like, I can't win this game. And Chelsea, oh, stop that. Stop that. Chelsea lets him know, I'll think about it. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. So that ends the Chelsea and Damien conversation. Dane is going to talk with Kiki and Steph. There's a really funny moment, actually, where after Kiki had talked with Steph about some of the stuff they talked about were the conversation that Kiki had with Chelsea and how well it went. They talked about how they don't trust Mark anymore and how like sketchy he is. And so then Steph leaves and they're also like talking to the cameras like, oh, young blood, you know, get the popular high school kids out, which happens every season. And then Steph leaves and Kiki starts talking to the cameras like directly, like right in the cameras, like right up there, like face it full in the frame. And she's talking about like, believe in yourself. And, you know, that's, I came in this house and I'm going to do the thing. And then, like, as she's talking to the cameras doing that, Dane walks in behind her and she doesn't realize it for like a good, like 2 seconds, and then turns back and tries to continue like awkwardly, like, oh, you didn't catch me. I'm not embarrassed. It was really funny.
It was really good. And now Dane's here just trying to segue it in. They're fun, both of them, the twins, the young bloods. They're a fun time. And you are right, every season we have two or three people that are kind of like the anti, the coalition against the popular ones, the underdogs, the undercats, as the LFT call them. And I feel like this year the young blood are prime candidates to be those undercats.
Yes. They call them Kiki and Steph, they call themselves the young bloods. Other people call them the twins. Honestly, I prefer the twins because I do think it's more descriptive of their gameplay. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see how long they last. If it matters, if we're going to have to go with one or the other. But so they end up talking with Dane, and man, you know, they're so close. I do feel like these two are the biggest threat to the Pretty Boys because they are very close to uncovering that they are all aligned, more so than I think most anyone else. The problem is, like most anyone else, there's at least one of the Pretty Boys that they have left out of the picture, and that currently is Dane, because Dane is the person, the one person that they're going to explain their skepticism about the rest of the guys, and how, hey, Dane, Mark is so sketchy. We feel like he's working with Adam and maybe Anthony. Like, it's not great. I don't like Mark. I don't like them. We need to take a shot. And it's just like, no.
It's one bro too many. If there was three of them, they'd be caught by now. But that one extra factor has been something that's kept them under wraps, because at least one of them will always bring back information that others are onto them. And I do think, if SD had won this HOH, maybe it would have imploded. Like, genuinely, they're not doing that good of a job, and they have gotten lucky so far. But I feel like they are like one comp win away from blowing up.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, even though, like, I think the fact that they are targeting some of the other guys will destroy the Pretty Boys if it happens. Like, just because they trust the wrong person, like, trusting Dane means that the Pretty Boys should be trying to get them out before they can take a shot. Because if they do have a take, if they are able to take a shot at the Pretty Boys, I think that, like, even if they don't target Dane, they just target like Adam and Mark. They put Adam and Mark on the block, which I could definitely see happening.
Yeah,
they were like, oh, Mark just wanted to please Adam. Like, oh, you just put up Steph in the competition. And so they could easily put those two up. I think if two pretty boys are up on the block next to each other, the entire thing is going to crumble. These people are not good enough to withstand something like that. And the whole thing will be exposed. And then they will realize they can't trust Dane anymore. However, they need to get to that point first. Yeah. And right now, Kiki is looking like the prime target. And revealing this information to Dane is not great. That said, of all of the pretty boys, I think Dane is the most likely to not use this information properly. That he likes Steph. Kiki, he likes Steph a lot. yeah. He likes them both. But he likes Steph more. And yeah. So I think that he would like to not have them leave if he can help it. He feels like they're his parachutes. He's mm-hmm. trying to get rid of the Sam group. And so I don't think he wants to say anything that will make the pretty boys target them more than necessary. However, I don't think that will end up mattering this week. But it could, because, you know, this is a very flippy house. A Damian Kiki nomination could lead toward, you know, votes going back and forth again. And then, you know, if Kaylin does end up on the block, that could matter as well. So there's still a lot of game to be played. I would not count Kiki out yet. I would not count anybody out yet. I really still feel like it could be any one of the three of Kaylin, Kiki, or Damian at this point, with Kiki just probably a little bit in the lead. She definitely should be the target for the pretty boys. Is she the right target for Chelsea? Maybe that's a discussion we can have a little bit later in the update. Anyway, so Chelsea and Corey talk. Chelsea says Corey's not on her radar. Corey says same. And they bond a bit. Corey does well in this conversation, getting Chelsea to talk a lot more than she had with her previous conversations. And they talk about how excited they are and how they want to work together. So I like what Corey did here. She's doing pretty well.
Corey's doing really well since getting into this house. And, you know, we have had a lot of talks back and forth this past week about whether, you know, not getting a vote is bad or good. I can safely say, after what we saw last night, this only benefits her because she hasn't had to put her cards down and she still looks like a free agent because there's no commitment that has been put down there. And I do think that, all of that aside, she's been socially integrating herself with the house pretty greatly. Any time I've seen Corey speaking with someone, it's been good. Now, that doesn't mean to say that there hasn't still been doubts. You know, we've still heard the boys talk about wanting to get rid of Corey at some point. But I do think that's becoming less and less of a problem. And I do think Corey can ride this out. The other interesting thing is that now that Corey's back in, as in like having a vote, this is another week where there's 10 votes on the table. So mm-hmm. it could still be a 5-5. It'll be interesting to see if that even happens. Probably not. We said that. We said that last week, and it happened. So it's good. It's good. I like
yes.
Corey.
Corey does well here. Counting the votes here will be interesting. If it does come down to Damian or Kiki, I do think that Corey would probably, again, right now, there's a lot of time left.
Yeah.
But right now, I think Corey will likely go with Chelsea. If Chelsea's still on Kiki, one and Kiki gone, I think it would be Adam, Sam, Kira. That's four votes. They just need one more to make a tie, and then Chelsea would break that tie. Where does that one come from? Probably the pretty boys, but if the pretty boys decide, no, we need to go against the Sam group, then you never know. So this could be a close vote, could be another interesting week, but you never know.
Who knows? We went from a unanimous to a 5-5.
Oh, you know what? Kaylin would be the fifth vote.
There you go.
Kaylin actually tried to prevent. We need to talk about Kaylin, right?
Yeah, let's go.
So Chelsea tries to talk with Kaylin, and so Chelsea goes down. Kaylin was talking with Adam and Sam, and Kaylin's like, so do we need to talk? And Chelsea's like, do you want to talk? And Kaylin's like, no. She's like, okay, well, I don't know. I kind of want to talk with you, Kaylin. Okay,
I guess.
Like, can we maybe do that tomorrow or something? She's like, fine.
Is she playing hard to get? Like, what is this?
Like, she's like, I feel, you know we don't need to talk. It's very, very strange here. But ultimately, Chelsea's perspective on this is Kaylin needs to come to me. I want her to not feel safe. I want her to offer me some deals. She needs to earn her safety. Mm-hmm. And so Kaylin could very easily get herself put on the block or make Chelsea more inclined to go through with the backdoor plan with how she's behaving toward Chelsea. I haven't seen that really change. When they do ultimately talk, I honestly don't know if it was this morning or last night, Kaylin tries to prevent Chelsea from putting Damien on the block. Kaylin is much more inclined to protect Damien over the twins. So I do believe Kaylin would be a fifth vote to send Kiki home in the event that Kiki is on the block next to Damien. So that's something to note there.
Yeah, it is. And I feel like the one thing, though, is that I think Kaylin should probably not be peddling a lot and trying to get stuff to change, because I think she doesn't realize she's probably next in line.
Yeah, don't put Damien. Why would you put Damien up? Why, don't do that. Okay, fine. Well, you're the other option. So
just stop talking. She's keeping you safe for herself. Stop talking.
Yeah. So Chelsea also talks with Adam again and confirms this plan, Kiki and Damien on the block with Kiki as the target. She wants to tell Damien that he's the pawn and she does not want to give Kiki a heads up. So it's a tough one. Giving the heads up doesn't always go well, but at the same time, it can help. She doesn't want it to get out that there's a, potential backdoor plan. So, it's tricky. We'll see how this one goes. We'll see how she handles the post nomination ceremony explanation. If that goes well, telling her beforehand, I don't know. I think the problem is that we're looking at this from the perspective of Kiki feels amazing right now.
Right.
I think Chelsea is like, I told Kiki basically watch out by saying, let me think about it. Whereas Kiki was like, she promised me I was safe, basically. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that Chelsea misread Kiki in that sense. And Kiki is going to be a lot more blindsided than she anticipates.
Yeah, I think factoring all these things, and I think Kiki's going to come out feeling pretty shocked that she ends up on the block, especially how is it going to feel? Like, you feel amazing. You're sitting down for nominations. You're like, okay, week three, let's get this going. And then Chelsea gets up and says, so you said you're a good liar. I don't buy anything you're saying. Get on the block. And you're sitting there having all these flashbacks of yesterday's conversation, trying to clue in on where did I go wrong. And that's not going to feel good at all. I do think Kiki's probably going to be able to keep her composure. Hopefully, I guess that's what I'm being optimistic about. We'll see. Damien's going to look like a hurt puppy regardless. So that's fine. I do feel like for Chelsea, she obviously isn't a mind reader, but I feel like just hinting that that could be happen at least one more time before the noms might help her more.
Yes. So that's the plan. Chelsea is going to talk to Steph as well. And Steph is basically going to make the same kind of case. I'll keep you safe if you keep me safe. We really like you, so on and so forth. It doesn't really go anywhere. Just Steph is still not on Chelsea's radar. I don't know exactly why. I think it's just like Steph and Eddie are just like riding on this likability factor. And, I don't know how long it'll last for, but I am excited to see if Kiki does leave this week, what that does to Steph. Cause I genuinely think it is going to be an improvement on Steph's game. It will force her to socialize with more people. And I think that once she starts socializing with more people, like, she's already very perceptive. She's already kind of close to figuring out the truth. If she finally has to actually start talking with people, I think she'll figure out a lot more and will be a lot more deadly in the game. So that'll be interesting to see.
I agree. And I don't remember who it was this morning. It was either Sam or I think most likely it was Kaylin. Was talking to Chelsea and was mentioning that if Kiki goes, I feel like Steph could be very dangerous. She's a flirty mm-hmm. type. She could do what she needs to do. Right now, she's just with Kiki. And I do think that this is something Chelsea's sleeping on. I don't think she realizes just how much Steph becomes unleashed when she's not tandemed with Kiki and hanging out together. So it'll be interesting to see. Ultimately, I do think Chelsea thinks she's kind of also doing Dane a favor by keeping Steph. She's made it sure that he knows that. Mm-hmm. So that's a thing that she thinks is also being factored in. But I also believe that she doesn't see Steph as any type of threat. She sees Kiki as this cerebral liar. So this is kind of what separates them. But I don't know. I feel like this could come back to bite her.
It could. It could. Katie points out, well, this was a great quote when Chelsea was like, what am I going to say to Esty? Like, hi, nice to meet you. It's like, oh, I wish that wasn't true, but it definitely is. This is why Kiki needs to go for Steph to blossom. So that's really most of what happens. Adam is talking with Dane at one point in the HOH when Kaylin comes in and finally confronts Dane about what Mark said, where Mark blamed Dane for the vote. She's like, what's up with that, Dane? And Dane actually gets pretty mad at Mark for saying, like, why would Mark say that? It's so, what? He's like, Mark finally gets caught after blaming Dane all week for his vote. So that was a little thing. I don't think that's going to go anywhere, but it was a funny little moment.
Yeah, that's fun. I feel like as viewers, the more and more we see these little nudges between the pretty boys themselves will be interesting to see moving forward. If I had to power rank the longevity of the pretty boys, I think Adam's last. I think Adam's the first one to get smoked out, in my opinion. I think Anthony, surprisingly for me, might be at the top. I think Anthony could go the distance. And I think Mark, probably right now, Mark is third and Dane is second. Those two could be interchangeable for me.
Yeah, it's interesting because Adam is like the biggest target, probably the second worst socially, with Mark being the worst, but probably the best in terms of understanding what made the brigade work and like wanting or not. No. I think Anthony's the best understanding what made the brigade work, but Adam's the best at understanding that you shouldn't be targeting your own parachutes. So second worst socially, maybe, you know, tied there for strategic with Anthony, whereas Anthony is probably one of the best socially, where he is in with a bunch of different groups and isn't tied down to any one thing in particular. Nobody's looking at him. I think Dane is probably second best socially, where he gets in with a lot of people, but strategically he's probably the worst. And so they all have like strengths and minuses and weaknesses, I should say. But I think Anthony is probably the one with the least amount of weaknesses. So it'll be interesting to see. I do think Anthony is the safest. I think he's the smartest and, you know, we'll see how that goes. Sometimes that means you end up falling the hardest, but we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. Now the good thing is that socially he's doing pretty decently, and that will go a long way. If anything, the social capital that he can use to stay safe is good. But also, like you said, the higher they are, the harder they're going to fall.
Yeah. So. Most importantly, in my eyes, for Anthony, is that I haven't heard him talk about Sam in a few days. Like that was his biggest thing that was causing him to make a bunch of mistakes. He's kind of gone off of that. Dane is still a little bit obsessed with Sam, but Anthony seems to have I think Anthony is starting to realize that Sam isn't as big of a threat as he once thought. I hope that's the case at least. But you know, again, we'll see.
Yeah, it means kind of like the whole Chelsea thing with Kaylin. Once you hear their name enough from other people, you don't have to worry about them. If you're good with them, someone else will take them. You do not have to worry. You do not have to talk about it.
And also, I feel like I'm hoping at least that Anthony is finally starting to get the read on Adam, that Adam cares more about the bros than he does for Sam. And that makes a difference. So he doesn't need to worry about that as much as Dane does, where Dane is like, no, don't take away my bro.
Yeah.
All right. So that's what we've got for you. Anything else you wanted to bring up here, Puya?
Not really. I do have to say it is pretty fun waking up in the morning and having feet to watch right off the bat. That's been an interesting change for me. The archive room did come back with more stuff after the feet came on last night. So more people looking at archives. Nothing yet to report on that front, I think. And yeah, it's been pretty good so far. The one thing I don't understand is it was kind of unfortunate because, you know, we get off this episode, HOH comes out. I'm like, okay, we know who the HOH is. We read some things about confrontations, but then feeds were still down for a couple hours until Yeah. So that was a little unfortunate, but I got to say, I'm happy. I'm getting the good feeds. It's been fun. And more morning updates for me to listen to. So thumbs up.
Yeah, I think basically they kept the feeds down until after the HOH reveal was done, which, you know, I guess because I don't really care to watch that anyway. So if that's what was going on, then fine. But yeah, in general, I would love to. It's more a problem of them taping the live show earlier. And so we don't get the immediate aftermath of the eviction. But what are you going to do?
Yeah, I can't wait to find out what Skechers Chelsea got. And they have to give him back. I'm good.
We're
good.
You don't like renting shoes?
I feel like one of the weakest things about bowling is the fact that you have to borrow shoes for an hour and then return them. Who knows whose feet have been in those?
Yeah.
Love me some bowling, though.
Skechers. Who knows whose feet have been in those?
Skechers. Your feet and everyone else's.
All right. Who are the alumni that are going to be in the Skechers commercial?
Ooh.
That's a have not competition.
Okay. So let's see. So let's just, for us, because I don't know who is athletic and not, I'm going to go with Sketchy and use that as my outline. Daddy Dallas, number one on the ballot. He's going to be on there. Let's see. I could see Phil and Nick, the brothers. They could be on there. It's good shoes for a DJ. They got to be comfortable. Mackie just left, so we're not going to count him as a DJ or a poet right now. We'll move on. And then let's see, four, little bit of sprinkle of fun in there. How about a Nick, the Reiki master, you know, read the chakras and wear the Skechers.
I'm really pulling for that one.
Yeah.
You started strong with Dallas, I think.
I think that was the only one I thought of when you said it. Then after that, I'm like, I don't want to give like the same five names that we'll always hear. Let's change it up. And then, for some reason, Anik is the one. Sabrina, remove Anik, put Sabrina in the poster. We're done. Now it's better. At least a little bit.
Okay, so thank you everyone for joining us today. I will of course be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother Canada 7 live feeds. I will also be speaking with Mackie later today. So if you are interested in hearing my interview with Mackie, make sure you check out the Rob Has a Website page, follow the Big Brother iTunes or podcast feed, wherever you get those podcasts, or you can follow me on Twitter at Armstrong Taren. I will tweet it out, and we'll get to see what Mackie has to say for himself.
Can you ask him who flipped? Who flipped Mackie? I don't know. They're all fake.
Mackie, who was the fakest?
Oh, yes. He will answer because he's an honest boy. He's going to give us the honest answer. And then ask him how long the plague is going to be on the house for.
Yeah. Mackie, I have a feeling that you think that you're really the winner of the game. So how much money do you think that you should win having won the true prize of not being fake? All right. I'm sorry, Mackie.
We love you. I love you. I'm your fan. You know I am. Well, you don't know, but you'll know.
Yeah.
I'll do that.
All right. So you can follow Puya at Puyaism. And then, of course, Monday we will be back for the roundtable. And you guys can find out what purchases we made in the previous week's stock watch. See if anyone made any mistakes. I wonder if anyone bought any Mackie. Probably not, but.
Probably not. Know. This has been the most hyped stock watch of all time. So be there Monday night, guys. It's going to be worth it.
Everyone's on the edge of their seats.
Yeah. Can't wait to find out.
With their Skechers on.
You don't want those listeners. No. With all these borrowed Skechers. No.
All right. Thank you guys for joining us. I will see you next time.